Compassion is probably one of the most beautiful, beautiful gifts that is part of your and my inheritance from heaven. It is not a special gift. It is your gift and it's my gift and it's a corporate gift to the body of Christ. And all of you and many of you can probably testify of someone in your life who moved in one moment of compassion and changed your destiny, changed your heart, and changed your brokenness. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, but often he brings in people into our lives. And I will share, I just want to share something with you. The Lord Jesus sent someone into my life one morning when I was not feeling too good about myself. We'd gone through a bad patch with a guest house, and I'd let my husband down. It was the 2010 soccer. We were so busy with human trafficking, fighting and preventing the kids from being trafficked, that I just slumped there, and things went wrong, and we had to retrench certain people, and it wasn't an easy time for me, because when you have a mama heart, you are relationally orientated, and when you work, and it's the worst thing in your life when people have to leave you and go from you, and that was where I was, in a bad state. And what actually happened was, there's this funny sound on the mic here, is it okay? And so what happened was, thank you, Lisa. So what happened was, I was sitting in my prayer group on a Tuesday morning, and I just said to the girls, I'm not feeling too good about myself. I feel, and I was weeping, and I was just saying, I'm so ashamed. I feel ashamed about who I am. I feel ashamed about letting my husband down. I don't feel very good about myself. That was how I felt. And one of these precious girls in our group just said, ach, nee, man. She says, suddenly, oops, there's a song that comes into my heart for you. And she says she says it's Song of Songs sung in a modern day version. And she says it's not like a Christian song, it's sung long ago, but she says Jesus is singing it to you. And this is what he's singing for you. He's your bridegroom, he's your lover, and he's singing you Song of Songs through old blue eyes. I thought, wow. And I want one woman in my life who has compassion, the compassion of Jesus, to come on stage and to bless you. Because when she'd sung it, I knew it was a word, it was a blessing for the corporate body, for you, precious woman, heart of compassion. Give Sylvie a big hand.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Hard in the way that I stand, there's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak, there are no words left to speak. And if you feel like I do, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true.
You're just too good to be true.
take my eyes off of you.
Well, to say the least of it, it's now my ringtone. And I remember, you know, after that 20 minutes, it was over. I couldn't feel shame anymore. I couldn't feel guilt anymore. I'd lie in bath and think about everything that went wrong, and I'd start singing, "You're too good to be true." And I want to say to each one of you today, this is what Jesus says to you. This is what God says to you. We are his baby, and he adores us, and he loves us. And Frank Sinatra, thanks to you. You wrote Song of Songs. Amen. This is the heart of compassion. This is the heart of the Father towards us. But that heart is within you. That heart of compassion is in you because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your lover, your savior, your redeemer, your rescuer is here within you. And you know, when I was on the city council, every time I had to speak publicly at some place, the Lord gave me a vision. He gave me a vision of this red carpet, you know, that we're rolling out for him. And every time I had to speak somewhere, he said to me, "Corinne, whenever you speak anywhere, you are busy rolling out the red carpet for me." And I've got a red carpet here today. And he is the Rose of Sharon. And I just want to celebrate him and say, welcome, Lord Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords, our Savior. And wherever each one of you move, doesn't matter where you go, you're rolling out the red carpet for Jesus. When you open your mouth, when you speak out, where you move, where you work, you're rolling out the red carpet for Jesus because he's a spirit. His spirit is within us, and also says the gift lies. Amen. And when we were praying recently with our stop team, we were praying, and the Lord just again showed me the red carpet situation, that where we move, we're rolling out the red carpet for him. And as we finish praying, Rebecca pipes up. She says, "You know what, Tani?" She says, "We're doing a fashion show in 2 weeks, a huge fashion show at Val d'Or with, who's that model? Joanne Strauss and Ollie Mensa and all this. It's and Heinz is singing, and it was a big situation, and Stefano is doing all the dresses for this occasion." Anyway, so she says, "You won't believe this." She says, "The first dress that he's making is a red dress, and as you drive into Val d'Or, there's a parking area with a beautiful fountain, and in the middle, it's like a podium ready for a horse, you know, but the horse is not there yet, and he's going to place this model in the middle of this, and her red dress is going to become the red carpet on which the people are going to walk into the fashion show. Isn't it amazing?" And the Lord Jesus said to me just there, he said to me, "Corinne, don't fear. You are throwing out the red carpet for me as at this fashion show, and it's going to be just beautiful. I will be glorified in this day." And it was such a beautiful blessing for me just to have the vision again and to realize the red carpet was Stefano's first dress that we're going to be walking in. And Jesus said he will be walking in and be glorified in that incident. You know, what is so precious is John the Baptist was just a voice crying in the wilderness. And he said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And when Jesus arrived, he said, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And this is what is important for us today, to realize that Jesus is the hero. He's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. And that Lamb of God is now within you. And the Jesus Christ within you takes away the sins of the world. Your heart of compassion reaches out to people to say to them that they are loved, they are cared for, and that they are precious in his sight. And what is so precious is I once had a vision, which was very interesting. I was walking on stage, and I was leading the Lord Jesus on a donkey, you know, with his feet flapping in gewone klere. And he was just coming on stage with me, and I was leading him up. And as we got to the podium, instead of the donkey, it was suddenly the white horse of Revelation was rearing up with him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that beautiful scripture in Revelation 19. And what was so precious about it says here in Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is uncompromisingly just and having salvation triumphant and victorious, patient, meek, lowly, and he's riding on a donkey." And he just, and the next scripture comes out and it says, "After that I saw," in Revelation 19, that was the picture I got of him, "I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. The one who was riding it is called Faithful and True. And he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness. His eyes are like a flaming fire, and on his head many kingly crowns, and he has a title inscribed which he alone knows. He is dressed in a robe dyed dripping in blood, and the title by which he's called is the Word of God. And the troops of heaven, clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, followed him on the white horse." And this was the picture I saw, and the Lord said to me that we, as women, just look quite normal, like Jesus did on the donkey. You know, he was just walking on the donkey in his clothes. But nobody realized when he came into Jerusalem who he really was. And you and me look like normal mommies, look students, grannies, working girls, young moms. But nobody has a clue who is in you. The one who is the King of Kings, who's riding a white horse, sword in his hand. And he's the one that is within you. That is who you really are. Your spirit man is the one who rules and who's triumphant. And the things that Fred shared and Lisa last night, that power that rose Jesus from the dead is within you. The power of God. That's who you really are. So see yourself groot, hoor. You're a big girl. You're strong in Jesus. And that's so precious. But Isaiah 61 has been coming up all the time. It has just been coming up all the time. And I really want to bless you today because you have a heart of compassion. So Isaiah 61 is the word that the God has for you and for me and for all of us in this time and in this season. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me." The Lord has anointed and qualified you. How does that sound? Woo! He has anointed and qualified you. If you belong to him and you are his daughter, you are anointed and you are qualified to do what? To preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor and afflicted. He has sent you to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison and the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. For those who mourn, beauty for ashes, a garment of praise, instead of a heavy burden spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness and a planting of the Lord. You and me, we are anointed, we are qualified, we are sent to proclaim, to open prison doors, to comfort. This is the inheritance of the daughters of Zion. And this is a corporate, new, fresh anointing that Jesus is throwing out. In Matthew 25, he says, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me." This is your inheritance in Christ. And this is the corporate anointing which God is really commissioning us with. And what I want to commission you with this morning, I want to release you and send you off in your personal private call that God has given you. And one thing which is so beautiful in that is that Sylvie used her gift of song to minister to me one morning when I wasn't doing too well. Isn't that beautiful? But each of you have a gift from God. Each of you are called and appointed and anointed for a time and a season like this. But I just want to give the mic to Santi. She's heads up our intercession for STOP. And she got a word which was so profound for me, for you. Here we are. Just share it with us quickly, please.
Good afternoon, ladies. Yes, we were sharing about the message this afternoon from Tani Corrin, and I just said to you, you know what, I've heard many words in the beginning of this year, and as 2010 drew to a close, 10 is like finished. It's done. It's the complete number. And 11, God was saying, you know, this is the decade of destiny. And I just want to encourage you with that, that whatever that dream is in your heart, the Lord has placed it there. And this decade, this next decade is, whether you're 20, whether you're 19, whether you're 40, whether you're 50, God is going to be launching you into that destiny. And yeah, just know as the time is drawing near, as our Lord Jesus, this whole awaken thing, he's awakening his bride and he's saying, this is your destiny. We better get going because time is short. So he's awakening his bride and you as daughters, be ready. God is launching you into that decade of destiny. Thanks.
Yes, it's really wrapping up what Fred actually said this morning, which is so profound. In Revelation 12:11, we have that beautiful scripture that says, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, not loving our lives unto death. Each one of you here today have a testimony. Some of our testimonies are very short at this stage that says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Some of you have a story to tell since you've been born again and saved. Some of you have come 30 years with the Lord and longer and have a huge story to tell to redeem the body. And I just wanted to bless you and say to you that God wants to bring you to a place in your life where you release your testimony, where you release your story, because that story is the story that's going to lead someone to believe in the Rose of Sharon, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Because they only know Jesus through you. You are the only Jesus they know before they come to know him personally. And that is a most profound thing. And one of the biggest things about your testimony, and that is if you can only testify if you're forgiven. Am I right? When you've come to a place where you've forgiven your perpetrator, where you've forgiven your uncle, your father, your family member, your teacher, your husband, then your testimony is released. Isn't it amazing? So what I want to say and share with you this morning is shortly the story of my life, because one of the questions people have always asked me, and that is, how did you get involved with Stop Trafficking of People? Broken woman, how did it all happen? And this is the story of my life. When I was a little girl, I was sexually abused. And this sexual abuse created incredible perversion in my life. It caused a little girl to be vroeg rijp, vroeg vrot, as they would say. And I was dyslexic at school, and there was a lot of stuff that went on around me. There was an abnormal awareness for guys from a very early age, and I had lost my innocence. That is probably the bottom line of the whole story. And what happened was, at the age of 14, I went to a Christian youth camp, and I was introduced to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And tonight and today, I can just stand before you and say, thank you, Jesus, my Savior, my Rescuer, my Healer, my Redeemer. And when a few years later, I got to the place where I could actually forgive my perpetrator, my innocence was restored. Glory to God. Glory to God. And for each one of you here today, this is my story. You have your story. I want to encourage you today to forgive the people that broke your heart, to make work at forgiving those who hurt you, because then your testimony will be redeemed, released, and you will be, you know, that last scripture says, not loving your life unto death. And that means that when Jesus takes away the shame in your life, you can tell your story. Isn't it amazing? And needless to say, by some miracle of God, I passed matric. I was actually the head girl of my school. Nobody knew why and how it happened, but the Lord knew. Because as my husband always says, my IQ wasn't too good, but my EQ was fine. But the wonderful thing about it is that I managed to finish, by the grace of God, an honors degree in social work, marry an amazing man. That's the restoration of God. Raise 4 children who are serving the Lord at the moment. This is the God who's in you. This is the Jesus, the white horse, riding the white horse. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the amazing thing is that his robe is red with blood and yours is pure white. He made me virginally pure again and restored me completely. And what happened was then, of course, the passion, the compassion for women was birthed when I was redeemed. And we always had people in our home. Tannies en kinders en mense, mom with 7 kids. I even got lice in my own hair, I'm telling you. It was quite a story. And you know what's so precious is that I married a man that celebrates me. And I was saying to Fred, I'm going to say to each one of you today, do not marry a man who does not celebrate you and who does not believe in you and believe that you can add value to the world around you. You're not going to marry a guy who's competing with you. You're going to marry someone who you are going to complete. Amen. And if you don't meet him, don't marry. And this is the beauty of it, that as I grew with, as our marriage developed and our ministry developed, my husband released me. And he just was so proud of the compassion work that Jesus was doing in us and through our home. And I would bring the people in and he would shepherd them. Because my husband's a shepherd. But I just want to say to you, beloveds, and that is that the compassion heart of Jesus Christ isn't just Corinne's. It is yours. It is your inheritance in him. And it's going to be released today, big time. I just want to share a little bit more about... We're going to show you a PSA just now. I'm just going to share about the ministry of stop trafficking of people. What happened was that we started a safe house in 2008 in Stellenbosch. When I was on the city council, the red carpet was rolled out and the Lord Jesus walked in and gave us a house and brought in the broken and the lost. But in the middle of 2008, I opened the newspaper and there stood the sex industry is moving into rich neighborhoods around stadiums in preparation for 2010. Women and children are being recruited in Mpumalanga, in Northern Province, and in Transkei or somewhere. And as I looked at it, I said to my prayer partners, this will not happen. This will not happen. And I remember saying, going to Herky, and they were saying to us, yes, we're on board. We're going to join you. Resigned from the city council and started working with human trafficking. Started stop trafficking of people, and everything just started working around this. People came on board nationally all over, and the most amazing stuff happened because South Africa is predominantly a Christian nation. And South Africa said no to prostitution for 2010. And so the team started a huge fight against human trafficking. And I just want to bring honor to the girls that worked with me. Some of them are here today. And I just want to say 40,000 children were reached before 2010 and just afterwards in awareness campaign. Praise God. And 14,000 children in Stellenbosch, with partnering with the municipality and with us, 14,000 children were kept busy for 4 weeks from 8 in the morning until 10 at night, and Shofar did one of the stations. They were kept off the trains. They were kept away from the stadiums. Isn't that amazing? Fed twice a day. Anyway, one of the things that what we did in Stop was we got a PSA going, a public service announcement, because we realized if we could hit the media, TV2, SABC, then it would be the biggest audience we could get at once. Somewhere here at Oude Molen, you know, in the shed there, the screening was done. And these celebrities came on board and they voluntarily did this most amazing PSA for us. And I quickly want to share it with you because it was one of the biggest tools that kept trafficking at bay for 2010. Right.
What's human trafficking?
It's modern-day slavery.
A violation of human rights.
A crime against humanity.
It's just plain evil. And it's happening
right here,
right now,
in South Africa.
Not only is it already happening,
it's going to get worse.
The 2010 Soccer World Cup is described by some as South Africa's greatest opportunity
to showcase itself to the world.
As a tourist destination.
A promising foreign investment.
A rainbow nation.
But there are other people who see it as the opportunity of a lifetime.
To make mega bucks.
Cold.
Hard.
Tax-free.
Cash.
By providing traffic victims as sex workers to thousands of potential customers.
Only problem is, there currently aren't enough sex workers to meet the expected demand.
So trafficking is the only answer.
Leading up to the 2010 World Cup, as many as 100,000 victims are expected to fall prey
to traffickers,
pimps, and underground crime syndicates.
And right now, there are many influential individuals and organizations who are promoting that prostitution be legalized in time for the 2010 World Cup.
My friends, this must not happen.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, areas of Australia have legalized prostitution.
And now there's four times more illegal, uncontrolled brothels than legal ones.
They must feel like idiots.
Nice job, Australia.
They've really been a big fan of the Aussies.
No, neither have I.
Didn't Germany legalize prostitution just in time for the 2006 World Cup?
Jawohl.
And now they're regretting it.
They're actually trying to reverse it because...
It was a bad idea.
Drugs.
Crime.
Violence.
HIV.
And human trafficking.
Are all byproducts of the sex trade.
And legalizing prostitution is not going to help the problem.
So now what?
What are we supposed to do?
Guys.
We should probably do something to help.
We could start by telling some other people.
We could start by telling some people.
Can't you, like, forward this clip to a friend?
Or two, or three.
There should be a
button.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Or you can help.
You.
We're not going. You, my brew.
If you care about putting a stop to things like...
Drugs.
Crime.
Violence.
HIV and human trafficking.
Then you should go to
www.2010humantraffic.org.
Put a stop to this happening in South Africa.
If you would like to make a donation to this cause, please go to this website.
If you have already done so, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
I just want to give honor to someone today in this audience who gave 2 years of her life to produce this. Marionette, please stand up.
Glory to God.
You have no idea what sits in that lady. Fred was talking this morning about a window period, an urgency, amazing... I just wrote down the word urgency in his heart. And all of us find ourselves in situations where we can make a difference from moment to moment. And you know, the Lord reminded me, it was so amazing. I said to Fred, you stole my whole sermon. But that scripture, I think it's 2 Corinthians 6 that says, now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of God's hearing. I think I just want to read it to you. It says, now is the time for a gracious welcome. Now is the day of salvation. Now. And there's an urgency in the now for all of us. I think this is what this whole conference is about, awakening the here and now. Because Fred mentioned it, and I just want to quickly say that is often we sit and think, one day. One day, if everything's fine, one day when I married my husband and me, one day, I don't want to repeat what he said, but that's what I had in my heart to share with you, that the Lord said, now is the time. You are a daughter of destiny. And I found myself in Parliament one day. It was public submission. South Africa has an amazing system that before a law is passed, the public may bring submissions to Parliament. Nou moet julle weet, ek is 'n mommy en 'n huisvroukie, jy weet, en ek is hier op Stellenbosch. Now I realize that a public submission has to be made. And people are selected for it, and how you write and who you are gives you the opportunity as an MPO to speak. And lo and behold, they accepted my written submission, and there I'm standing now doing a public submission to the Parliamentary Committee who was pass the human trafficking law. Now, this is a huge thing because South Africa's, the human trafficking law hasn't been passed here yet. So the police haven't got a mandate. They haven't got the power and the strength. They can't go into a brothel and take the children out yet because they haven't got this mandate yet. And so I'm sitting there and I give my submission. And one of the parliamentarians stands up and he says to me, excuse me, lady, because now they can ask questions. And I thought, oh, gats, yeah, the questions come now. So he says to me, okay, so now a prostitute is caught on the street, a criminal prostitute, because prostitution is still a criminal act in South Africa. But he's being facetious, and he's busy asking me a trick question. I knew it was coming. He says to me, now, a criminal prostitute comes, and she says, that she gets caught and she comes to the police station and she says, "Oh, I was trafficked." That's how his approach was. And at that stage, I had a prayer partner with me. I think it was Sylvie that was there with me that day. And she was busy praying for me. And when I had to answer that question, she said, it wasn't even angels behind me. It was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit standing behind me. She saw this vision. And I remember thinking, how on earth am I going to answer this man? And you know, immediately it was like download from heaven. And I said, when is someone trafficked? When they trafficked yesterday, last week, last year, or 7 years ago? I said, most prostitutes were trafficked sometime in their life. And I said, excuse me, sir, but there's a pimp in the shadows waiting for this girl's money, and there's a madam and a John waiting up in the brothel to abuse her if she doesn't earn enough money. I said, if that isn't debt bondage, and if that isn't trafficking, what is it? And I said, excuse me for being so blunt, but when a woman lies on her back, she has no guarantee that when she gets up there, she's pregnant, HIV, maimed or dead. I said, is this the inheritance we want to give our daughters in South Africa? I said, God will not tolerate it. I thank you. And I remember it was like a moment of destiny. Give God the glory. And I remember that the chairman said, lady, God will bless you. And as I walked out, the parliamentarian and I walked out together, and his words to me were, I'm so confused, I'm so confused, I'm so confused. And I said, why, sir? He says, because I was sent here to legalize prostitution. He said, is it possible? I said, no, it's not possible. He said, why? I said, because our nation is predominantly a Christian nation. I said, there are too many people with morals and values and family values in this nation for this to happen. And we had a lovely conversation after that. But I just want to share with you and say, do not miss a window period that God has given you. The white horse in Revelation is within you, and he's rearing to go. And he has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. And he's wearing a crown upon his head that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is within you. So this is the follow-up on Fred's talk this morning. And I just want to say to you that this is the day. This is the day. there's a beautiful film. Sure. Who of you have seen that film on Carla Faye Tucker? The one who hacked those two guys to death. Yeah. There's a recent more Hollywood, Bollywood movie made of her, not the original one, which I was watching on our way up to Nam with a laptop on my lap. And you know what hit home for me was that girl. She was sentenced to death. She was going to be the first girl in Mexico in 100 years that was going to get the lethal injection. She came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the prisons. And she became born again, and she started preaching in the prisons. And her word went out, and one of the prison preachers fell in love with her. And they got married through the glass. It's an amazing story. Try and get hold of it. It's called Forevermore. And what I want to say in that is that for 14 years, they appealed her case, and it didn't work. And eventually, she got the lethal injection. But what I'm saying to you today in that is she didn't wait for her appeal to pass, to come out and tell, oh, I've been saved. She died. She suffered even the consequences of what happened years and years ago. But the fact is she seized the moment, and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people to this day are being born again through her story, her life story. And what I want to say to each one of you today, and that is, release your testimony, tell your story, even if it is just to say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know, we've got a safe house here for victims of family violence and abuse, but also trafficked women. And when they come to us, they are very broken. They sleep for days on end because they work at night. Some of them have lost their front teeth, and we have an amazing dentist here who's giving them teeth. It's so amazing what God is doing. He's doing what God has given him to do, and he's doing that for us. And that's what I want to say to you today. And I remember very clearly the other day, this one girl from the Ukraine came in, and All the Lord said to me was, just kiss her. Just hug her and kiss her. Just hold her and all over her. And that's all I could do because she was just so close. She was just lying there on the bench. We do cell group there on a Wednesday evening. Just lying there on the bench. And I was just kidding. She was just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all she said. But I just knew God just said to me, just love upon her, just love upon her, just love upon her. Sunday morning after church, when we were driving home, I just felt these arms around me. And she was kissing me in my neck, on my cheek, yeah, everywhere. Because the warmth and the love of Jesus had been ministered to her through the body and through the worship and through the love of the people of God that had been lavished upon her. So I just want to say to you, even if you just have to kiss someone up and love them and hug them, that is your ministry from God and from Jesus Christ. And you know, the most beautiful thing about it is the devil wants to come to steal and destroy and to kill, I think. And Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And I know it takes a few months sometimes to get through to those girls to give their hearts to the Lord. But they're going to do that. And they're going to go back. Ukraine has now started its own safe house through Hillsong. And one of our girls is going back there. And she's going to go back there. And they're going to be running those places, I'm telling you. So this is the vision and the heart that God has placed within me where my brokenness started. God has used the worst scenario of my life to become the greatest victory for his kingdom. God, you are glorified. You are honored. I give you all the glory. Fred was talking about getting into groups. You know, one of the most powerful things in my life has been intercession and prayer. And we have been coming together for 10 years now, a group of people coming and going on Tuesday mornings, praying for the nation, praying for the municipality, praying now for STOP. And in this prayer group was where the tears flowed and where You Too Good To Be True was released upon me and upon you this morning. And I remember Mariska and the girls there at La Brie always having to fix the coffee and the cookies and the biscuit. And I think sometimes wearied with having to bless the woman. But we were a ministry team together in La Brie. And what I would like to say to you and each one of you, and that is prayer. Lucille mentioned it last night, and Fred mentioned it now, and I'm telling you that God, we hit heaven with our prayers. Woman of God, each one of you have the gift, have been released upon you the power to pray, each one of you, some with great liberty, some still in the beginning stages, but you can pray. And I want to encourage you to get together in groups of five and start praying. This is what I was preparing, and Fred said it. But what I want to say to you today, and that is, while I was praying one morning, the Lord gave me a picture again. And I saw throughout the world, women praying in China, in Japan, in the traditional churches, you know, our Lord and God and Heavenly Father, we are, you know, that sort of praise. And these charismaniacs screaming to God and others weeping and, you know, whatever it was just so beautiful, colorful, and praying. And I saw in the you know, there's a difference between the heavenlies and the natural, and there was this stripe between the heaven and the natural. And I saw these angels, you know, in Vaxbrunblokke, you know, like the 100-meter dash, like this, waiting for our prayers. And as these prayers hit the heavenlies, they dashed before the throne of God. And then Revelation 8 just opened up, and I would like to read it to you here. It's so beautiful. It says, and another angel came and stood before the altar and had golden censer and was given very much incense that he might mingle it with the prayers of the saints, God's people upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense arose in the presence of God with the prayers of the people of God from the hand of the angel. So the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and cast it upon the earth. Peals of thunder, loud rumblings, blast noises, flashes, lightnings, and earthquakes. And what has happened is that God says when you pray, it hits heaven and it gets downloaded with powerful earthquakes and rumblings. That is the power of prayer. That is the power of your prayer. That's the power of corporate prayer and coming together also to pray. And we have been praying since before 2010, since 2008, One of our prayers is, Lord, reveal the darkness. Reveal the darkness. Bring the darkness to the light. And the most filthy things have been coming to the light. Praise God. Lolly Jackson. I mean, he was one of the biggest traffickers in South Africa. And one of his own men killed him. You see, this is how God functions and works. He answers the prayers. Awful things have come to the light. Churches, fornication in churches. I mean, you have no idea what God has brought to the light, but he honors the prayers. Children are being rescued and redeemed from brothels. Carte blanche and a special assignment they've got on board. This is what God does when his daughters start praying. You know, the men are different. They come together at 5 o'clock once a week and they pray together because they're working and they're in the corporate world. But some of you here are not working. You can come together and pray. Some of you girls on a Saturday afternoon while the guys are watching rugby, those who are not interested, just come together and just pray. Latch into heaven and start sharing. Set aside a time once a week with prayer partners. Get yourselves together in groups. You know, and the Lord says in Micah 5 verse 1, he says, gather yourselves in troops, O daughter of troops, for a siege mound has been built against, and the enemy is hostile. But in Bethlehem, a child was born, the Redeemer, the Savior. And don't be ashamed of tears. Ons heil ons mors dood. Is it wonderful? Is it wonderful? Tears are such a joy and a release for a woman to be able to cry. And I want to bless you today. You have it in your hand to save this nation through your prayers and petitions before God. And you can bring to us and bring to the church word that God has given you that can be shared with the whole congregation, with the body, with the bride, to be able to encourage, to build up, to warn, to prepare. This is who you are. I think I broke in on a conversation, Nikki, with you and Fred about the Mix-It team. Mia. And I mean, these girls are mix-iting and they are be-being-ing, praying together. And the one is in a towel. This is the power in the natural. We in our group on a Tuesday morning would sit and we'd say, oh, Gats, how's it going with so-and-so? Hoe gaan het nou met jou? Waarvoor kan ons nou vir jou bid? Okay, all right, dit en dit. Dankie, dankie, dankie. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. You understand how natural it becomes. That it's like speaking and talking, then we talk, then we sing, then we pray, and then we phone someone. Praying.
It's amazing. Yeah.
We are not victims of our feelings. Amen. How you feel is irrelevant in terms of who's within you and the power that is released upon you. And many a times, you say, I don't feel good. I don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like this. I don't feel like that. When you feel at your worst, you do something for someone else. And what happens? You somehow feel better. So I want to really share with you and say to you, don't be a victim of how you feel. When you know, I have one beautiful darling there with a yellow coat there. She's been going through a jolly hard season. And she just invites all the lonely girls together. And she makes a fire. And there's not money for big food. She just somehow gets a soap going and the bread. And they sit around the fire and drink a little sherry. And have great fun if they have sherry. And she just... I don't think you have sherry. Jy het net sop en brood. Excuse. En die sherry klink net lekker. Daleen. But what I want to say to you in that is, we are out focused now. We're not in focused. We've gone through foundations. We've gone through healing. We've gone through deliverance. We've gone through many things in our lives. And God says it's now the time to be out focused. You, sitting here today, I've got a commission from God. And it's not next week, today. Vandag het jy 'n call van die Here. God has a plan for today for you. As you move out here, he's got someone you've got to connect here. He's got someone who's waiting at home for you. He's got a phone call you can make. Today is the day of salvation. Today is a beautiful song, an old song. I think only Lucille and I know it at this stage. It goes, Something today, while the blossoms still cling to the vine, sing psalm. I'll taste your strawberries, I'll drink your sweet wine. A million tomorrows will all pass away ere I forget all the joys that we shared today. Amen. Yes. In this vision of the white horse, how far am I from finished? Nearly. I'm going for a landing here. Sometimes we land on our bums, hey? And that white horse just stands still. The Lord showed me in that vision of the white horse when I was leading him on stage. The Lord took that vision further. And he spoke to me in over months concerning that vision of the white horse. He said to me that in Revelation 19, the white horse and the troops of heaven, it says, dressed in white, followed him. And the Lord showed me that as I stood before those women that morning, that each one of you have your own white horse. And your name is branded on that white horse. And Jesus says, come ride with me. Come ride with the armies of heaven. And you're dressed in white. And then I saw a picture and I said, then I saw some very weary, broken women who couldn't even mount their white horses because of sadness and brokenness and things that happened recently in their lives. And they were just like this. And Jesus just put out his hand and yanked them onto his white horse. And he says, just hold on tight. Just hold on tight. And their white horse was just galloping by with them. Then I saw in this vision how some of us fall off our horses on our bums. in his stall. And this white horse just stood still right there. And he waited for me to mount again. That is the grace of God. And you, my love, have that grace within you. You have that compassion within you. You have the rider on the white horse, King of Kings and Lord of Lords within you. And I just want to say, come ride with me, says Jesus. Ride with the armies of heaven. Take up your horse and let's go for it. And yes, he's the conqueror and we are more than conquerors. It's like the fight in the bull's ring, in the ring. Two fighters fight, and the one wins, and his wife gets the money when he comes home. Who was the conqueror? He was. Who was more than a conqueror? She was. You are a beneficiary of heaven. He fought the fight. The battle, the war is won. We have a few battles to fight on earth still before he's coming back. But the war is won. He's riding the white flag, and he's saying, come ride with me. And he's going to be opening doors and giving opportunities for you to tap into heaven with your prayers, to be able to download stuff. And, you know, prayer warriors are getting very practical these days. They're not just praying. They are doing. And I want to honor you and bless you that when you've prayed, you're going to know what to do also. And every one of you, we hit on human trafficking, because I was a victim of abuse as a child. But your gift may be in sync with your brokenness as a child or as a human being, or just a call in your heart from God to do what he has to do. And so I just want to say to you, and that is, there is a big call, there's a corporate call, but there's a personal call. There is a today. Daar is 'n gaan van hier af blessing within you. You are commissioned by God. You are blessed by God to do what he does. And I just want to share with you one thing which happened the day before yesterday. One of our team is a clinical psychologist, and she had to attend a lecture the other day. And she didn't realize what she was moving into. And it was a gay lecturer teaching on explicit gay sex, how it's done, how it functions, and how it gives ultimate pleasure. And she comes out of that lecture, and she's on the phone, but she is hysterical, upset, because of the absolute blatant, filthy pornography that she had to hear and see. And she was just snicking and weeping. I had to pray for her and just say, God, I cancel this. I thank you for your peace. God, you are faithful. And then as an afterthought, I thought, but the Lord allowed her to see that. Why? She's going to be the biggest warrior on the face of the earth to eradicate, to prevent someone from hearing this rubbish again. She's now enlightened that there's fire in her heart now to stand up against this stuff. And I just want to say to you that every situation, how bad it all is, God uses it to his glory. Alles werkt in goede meer voor die wat God lief heeft. Even that sad thing, that horrific stuff, which we had to clear her mind from as we were praying. But so I want to bless you and say to you, if you're working in a corporate situation, if you're working in a setup where it's so ungodly, let your little light shine. How does that song go? I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine for Jesus. Get on your white horse. Ride with him. Milani Vos, yay, I'm finished. I just want to pray for you all.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you that we are more than conquerors through the precious, complete work of the precious Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Lion and the Lamb. And Lord, thank you that the Lion is roaring within us and the compassion of the Lamb is within us. And Lord Jesus, I want to bless each daughter of Zion here this morning. I thank you that we are gathered in troops, that we are daughters of troops, because that siege mount which is built will not succeed in Jesus' name. And Father, so in Jesus' name, we come this morning and we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for every past of every woman sitting here today. I thank you for the brokenness that you have healed. I thank you, Lord, that you use every situation to your benefit, to your glory, to overcome the devil and to bring healing and restoration to your people. I thank you, Father, that we're going to be hitting heaven with our prayers, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you in heaven will hear those prayers and they will come down to earth with earthquakes and rumblings and mighty power. Father, thank you that the fire has been lighted within us to make a difference every day as we wait upon you and we seek your face. Thank you that you've given us each a white horse. Thank you that you've commissioned us. Thank you that you've called us, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, that some of us, although we can just say, I once was lost and now I'm found, and we're riding on your back, we're safe. We're secure. We're with you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're raising up an army of prayer warriors, an army of lovers, an army of compassionate women reaching out to the lost, to the broken, giving people garments of praise. Keep giving people hope, Lord. And thank you, Father, that every woman sitting here is a hope bringer. Thank you, Father, that when we walk away from somebody, they will have hope in their hearts. They will have hope to live again. They will have hope to try again. Because Jesus, you are our hope and our salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the word hope is the banner over us, which is love and hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that hope brings new life. Hope set people up again. And thank you that you've commissioned us to be bringers of hope. And so I bless each girl here today. I bless each lady here today. I bless each mama, each granny here today for a word in season for everyone with whom they have to do, Lord. A word of hope for everyone which they encounter, Lord, that people will rise up and say, yes, Lord, yes, I will follow you on my horse. In Jesus' name, amen.